This podcast is sponsored by Delete Me. Would you just give your house key to criminals? Having your personal information on the internet is like giving a thief the key to your home. They can take everything that's valuable to you anytime. But join DeleteMe.com can help you protect yourself. Online data brokers compile information about you and sell it to people who could ruin your life. But join DeleteMe.com scours the web, removes the personal information you don't want seen, and reduces the risk of data brokers, scammers, identity thieves, even political enemies getting personal information that could hurt you, your family, or your reputation. You'll get regular reports detailing what they find and remove. And join DeleteMe.com isn't just AI. They have real people working to keep your data safe. Keep your private life private with JoinDeleteMe.com. Sign up today and get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to JoinDeleteMe.com/protect. Go to JoinDeleteMe.com/protect. That's JoinDeleteMe.com/protect.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here.
Reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance.
Like your first home expansion.
Or your first big lightning strike.
There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Families agents. Life's better when you're under American Families roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi, everyone. You're very welcome to this podcast, which may go on for a while. I have a lot to say on this that I feel is really important to get this information out to you. So if my co-producer stays quiet for the length of time, I hope he will. I won't mention the outdoor activity that is going to ensue after this, or we might get some disruption. So without further ado, I'd like to cover this experience with a narcissist as being akin to an NDE. I've really gotten into this at the moment, and it's kind of like your recovery journey leads you into things that you identify with. And it's an amazing experience to travel down these different roads and learn more about yourself and learn more about life and increase your joy, happiness, and personal fulfillment. So that's one of the reasons, if not the main reason, that I'd love to share this with you. So some people may not be familiar with near-death experiences, but I'm guessing you guys are of the curious kind, as I was when we researched what happened to us and what happens to people. So a near-death experience is when someone officially or mechanically dies for a number of minutes and has an experience of total acceptance, total joy, being part of something that is of everyone. And these accounts come back time and time again with people experiencing the same things. So keeping an open mind on this, the reason I would say that it's akin to an experience with a narcissist, and they now actually have a term for this experience, for us, it's a spiritually transformative experience you can have after a narcissist and in recovery. I'm going to get into why I would describe our experience, your experience with a narcissist, the most painful experience, as being akin to this type of transformation that you go through. As we get more into the podcast, it'll become clearer. I'd like to take it, as usual, from a starting position because that's just the way I work. So it explains it better, I hope. The first thing I'd ask you to look at is the type of person that narcissists in general, and particularly for an intimate relationship, are drawn to interact with. Those type of people are generally very sensitive people that are emotionally reactive, that are full of empathy, that are people that introspect and question and analyze and give the benefit of the doubt and look at the good in everybody. Because those people are the people that narcissists can most easily control when they do not know that narcissists exist. So this is like a beautiful person who's spiritual. Now, again, I'll always say nobody's a saint, nobody's perfect. But in general, this is the modus operandi of the narcissist's ideal victim. So this person, or a sensitive person's trajectory through life, may be experiencing things on a much deeper level than, I suppose, people in general. There are some people that experience things more, they feel pain more, they feel happiness more, they're very sensitive. I know that there is a term out there called empath or super empath. I believe we all have the capacity to feel things at a high level, but some people seem to be more naturally born with it from childhood. The trajectory of that person's life is maybe having some narcissistic abuse as a child and overcoming it by developing even more empathy within themselves, or knocking themselves to the extent where they believe that maybe there is something wrong with them and they need to keep working to improve it. That person often goes on, and not only that person, anybody can attract a narcissist. This is just if a narcissist, a particularly nasty one, gets really lucky and meets a person who is super sensitive and full of empathy. The trajectory for this person may well be that they go through a number of narcissistic relationships until, you know, recovering from each one and introspecting and deciding that they need to do better and it just didn't work out, giving the other person the benefit of the doubt, accepting that the relationship didn't work out, being in a lot of pain, but slowly recovering and going on and trying again with somebody else, but still attracting a narcissist, unfortunately. What I call the final battle with a narcissist is the one that really takes you down. So you may have been in a vulnerable position. You may have even had good relationships in between your narcissistic relationships. But along comes Mr. or Mrs. Narcissist. And it's a good one. It's one that's putting out a mask of mirroring you. And you think that you've met your soulmate finally. You thought it before, maybe. But finally, this person is really ticking all the boxes and you're feeling amazing. And you go through a relationship with this person with a lot of hope from the future faking that they do with you. And unfortunately, the devaluation starts and it makes sense to you because some of your relationships haven't worked out before and you really, really don't want this relationship to fail with this person. So you really, this time, go 110 and 20%. You give it your very all because this person seems to be worth it. And if what they're saying is true, and you know the reason some of your relationships didn't work out in the past, then if you put the work in and really go for it with this person, then it should work. And you go all out, and you know the story, guys. You go all out and then you get discarded, or the narcissist does something so heinous that you have to leave. And this is the most painful, devastating experience of your life, because you not only tried to make the relationship work, but you did everything that you felt humanly, spiritually, psychologically and emotionally possible to make this relationship work. And then when the narcissist leaves, they don't only abandon you as a piece of trash, but they also tell you that you are. It's like they tell you that all the things that you hold dear, like some of your spiritual experiences, like some of the things, and I'll just tell you this now, these things can be thrown at you as you being crazy. This would be my experience of extrasensory knowing or spirituality or whatever you want to call it. But I do remember as I was a younger person, as I was a young adult, going into a room, say on a social occasion or whatever, a classroom, whatever it was, family event, and feeling all the energy of the people there and feeling nearly instinctively what a person was like. And I know narcissists do this as well because they need to size up their chances of hooking someone and controlling them and getting supply. I'm guessing they know this from a different perspective. But I could feel the energy and nearly tell the person their character. And indeed did this from time to time as nearly, you know, a party piece, which was probably not a good idea. But people would be intrigued to know this. So the reason I'm saying this is sometimes people would look at you or back away from you as if you're a little bit crazy. And you kind of had this sense that I need to keep this under wraps, this feeling, you know, this thing that I feel, it's probably not appropriate to say it to people. It can scare some people, etc., etc. So at the back of your mind, you wonder, with this extrasensory kind of feeling about people and this kind of a knowing, a not knowing, but a knowing that you can't quite put your finger on. When the narcissist tells you you're crazy, those kind of thoughts can hit home. And it's a terrible chop down. It's like you come up against a big brick wall that you smash into, finally. Because all the other times you met with this, you were able to kind of navigate around it and analyze it, and it didn't have the crushing effect that this particular bashing has on you. So I call it the final spiritual battle. Indeed, I'd say it's akin to, you know, you could go through years of psychotherapy and gently be brought to different acknowledgements and different understandings and different light bulb moments. I would describe this last relationship with a narcissist as akin to getting psychologically by a therapist whopped around the head until you finally go, ah, I have to make a decision here. I have to know. It's like basically years of gentle therapy in a battering moment with a narcissist where you are faced with what you decide is the truth. And you can't pussyfoot around anymore. You can't kind of go, well, maybe I should have done that. The should-haves, the would-haves, the could-haves. If you're going to survive this battering, this coming up and being smashed against a brick wall and waking up stunned, you have to make a choice. And I did cover this a little bit in When You Raise Your Spiritual Sword in a podcast a while back, if anyone wants to check that out. So this is possibly, probably a reason you're doing all this research on narcissism and what narcissism is and what you went through. And I'm going to describe the next stage now and come on to why this is like a near-death experience and why it's now actually acknowledged as a spiritually transformative experience, if you allow that. My goodness, I hear a bird in the chimney. I don't know. Can you hear that? Oh, I hope he's not stuck. Okay, sorry for the interruption. Interesting interruption. Okay, before I get on to what I call the big five of our near-death experience with a narcissist, where we go into a different realm, it's like, it's probably akin to symptoms of post-traumatic stress, where you feel slightly removed from the world and you feel your body and your voice and everything are interacting with people, but that you're outside of your body, which is a symptom of post-traumatic stress. But it's also, in my mind, a symptom of being in a different transitory phase, going into a different spiritual realm where you're in a holding position because something really deep and dark has happened to you. And the accumulation of all the other narcissistically abusive relationships that you may have encountered in your life that were, in my opinion, there to take you off or to put you on, whichever you choose to make it after this experience, your life's purpose. So I really believe, and I know you know that I do now, that the psychological explanation for narcissistic abuse is perfect because it gives us a guidebook, you know, a guidebook on terminology and what narcissists do. But I take it from the other side and say, why would a person who is spiritually attuned, highly sensitive, highly empathic, wanting to be productive and do good in the world and help other people in general, everyone has narcissistic traits in general, why would they come up against such opposition? And believe you me, there's so many beautiful people that I've coached and I'm coaching, and they've had the most horrific experiences, sometimes from an early age, to overcome, yet they still have empathy. They still love. They still want to find out why they went through these experiences and what's ahead. And that's part of the journey.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
So the five essentials, or the big five as I call them, when you're in this transitory phase, would be understanding, first of all, understanding, like you're understanding here, like all your research on narcissists and the experience you had. That's the understanding. So you understand it. The next part is big because it takes time when you're in this holding phase. It takes time, but when it happens, it's as near to the near-death experience or the spiritually transformative experience, it's as near to the beginning or the the start of that, the door opening for you to that. It's the radical acceptance and the decision that I'm not going to accept the darkness. I'm not going to accept that there is no good in the world. I'm not going to accept that everybody's like this. And it's hard because we go through a stage of paranoia, disillusionment, bitterness, hatred, apathy, depression, suicidal ideation. Those kind of things actually happen to us. Addiction. The worst of the dark that the narcissist leaves you in behind and hopes that you remain in because that makes you more controllable. Then on the other hand, there is the why did it happen? Is this me? Who am I? Radical acceptance of the fact that this person had a different life trajectory. This person's value system was totally different. What is your value system? Who are you? Who do you want to be going forward? That's the experience that you choose, sometimes momentarily on this journey. And that's when it begins. When you radically accept who you are and why you believe you want to be this person, what your beliefs are, and loving, attempting and trying a life of living those beliefs, and feeling finally that it's okay for other people to have different beliefs, but these are mine. This is what I believe in, and I know other people do too. And that's when you enter a time where you no longer feel alone. You feel connected to that energy, connected to God, however you name him, divine energy. The other names we have for God, we all know what we're talking about. We're talking about that place of love, acceptance, keep trying. We want the same things from one end of the world to the other. We know there are people like us out there, and that is what, in my view, is humanity, and not the darker side that people are on a different road from us to go. That we can often get taken down that road. We can often be excited by the dark side of ourselves. We can often go into the ego phase, but what I'm saying is in general, that's not who we have chosen to be and who is not who we believe our spirit is, because we are more than just a body. We're more than a physical manifestation of the spirit. When we do accept ourselves, finally, and we can analyze the fact that there are two different ways. One is dark and one is light. And if we feel we're more in the majority of the light, we can bring it in more. We can attach to it more. We can discover by taking steps in that direction, rather than hate and revenge for the narcissist, or continually wanting them back and not fully accepting what has happened and not fully standing in our truth, the truth of what happened and who we believe we are in spirit. We do develop a purpose as we take steps in that direction. When we're no longer pulled apart by the cognitive dissonance, no longer traumatized as much by the experience, but feel that we have and are recovering from our injuries to a certain extent of being bashed against a wall. And it's like we break through. I don't know if you ever saw, there's different series like Doctor Who and time travel and stuff. And you can step through a time warp. It's literally like that. It feels like you now know yourself. You're now wholly in your body and your spirit. And whatever anybody else does is not going to change your self-belief. That you're still able to introspect and analyze. You haven't become a light-filled narcissist. What you have become is a fully accepting of the fact that you do your best and that you are very valuable. You're very valuable to God and you're very valuable to people who are capable of love. You're also very valuable to narcissists. But narcissists are more repelled by you because you aren't as inclined to need anybody as much as you might have before or need outside validation because of a lack of really accepting who you are or knowing who you are. This is like so transformative in understanding who you are and why you want to be who you are. The next step is protection. It's protecting that because for some reason, you will start to glow. It sounds absolutely crazy, but you will start to transform. You will start to even look different. My God, I mean, do you remember how we looked after the relationship with the narcissist? Pretty awful. And the narcissist often goes off looking very well, as we know. But this is a whole different experience. This is like a kind of an inner light coming through. And please leave in the comments if people have commented to you about that and if you felt that about yourself. I'm just checking my notes. Protection of that is very important. And if you do seem to, you know, the journey, the recovery journey is definitely not linear. Sometimes you can go right down into, you know, a pool of darkness and that you need to pull yourself back up from. But you have learned and your brain has learned, just like if you go to the gym and you do an exercise and you haven't done it for ages, whereas you start the exercise, it's hard to do, but your brain reminds your muscles of how to do it and it's easier even if you haven't been doing it. So on the recovery journey, you can pull yourself back up to a position of moving forward when you do fall off the road. So remember that. Don't feel, oh, I've fallen off the road now, so there's no point in trying again. Or you get a hoover from a narcissist and you feel all your neural pathways that the narcissist had grooved in your brain and groomed you, you know, that water flows back into them because you get the hoover. That's why it's so important not to get the hoover. We need those neural pathways closed off. They were toxic. They shouldn't have been laid down in our brain, but they could have been laid down by numerous narcissists from the beginning of our childhoods. So we are now a different person. We're now taking charge of our own lives. For some reason, and I'm going to get to this with my own personal experience, for some reason, we were taken off the path. We were tried, you know, we were on a journey to our purpose. We were here for a reason. And, you know, you go around a corner and the tree falls in front of you. Somebody is putting obstacles in your way all the time. Some of them you think, I can never recover from this. I've been left incapacitated. I'm financially dependent. I'm homeless. All of these serious, serious life occurrences can be sent on your journey to take you off it. But the overcoming of them is so damn enlightening if you can strive and maintain and get back on track. It makes you stronger, it makes you brighter, and it's as if pain is the door or the stimulus to free you from a clouded existence where you can see things so much more clearly. It's like living a different existence in the same body post this narcissistic abuse. This spiritually transformative experience, don't ignore it. Don't ignore it if you get a glimpse. And I'm going to also quote from an author's book whom I've met, and I'll describe the meeting to you and why I think that the book is so great, particularly in relation to this talk. And would you believe I was going to give this talk? It was always coming. And then the meeting happened. So another spiritually transformative experience or strange coincidence. But again, I don't believe that there are any coincidences when we're heading in a certain direction. We don't know what's around the corner, but if we don't head in that direction, we'll never know what's around the corner. It's like, walk through the door, because if you don't walk through the door, you will not know what's on the other side. Sometimes pain pushes us to walk through a door. I honestly believe, were there not darkness in this world, were there not a contrast to light, how would we know what light was? And sometimes I often believe that the darker the experience we experienced, the lighter the recovery journey is. And the more pain we felt, the more happiness and joy we're able to feel at the other side of that pain. It's like switching a light on or switching it off. And you have so many watts or amps or whatever you call them, you know, for light in a bulb. The more powerful the wattage, the more powerful the light. So the more powerful the darkness and pain you experienced, the more powerful the light. If you set your mind on understanding what you've gone through, and if you set your mind and say, this is the person now I want to be, and even with my coaching clients, I'll get them to write that down, who they are, what their faults are, what their plus points are, why do they think that? What do they want to do going forward? Who do they want to be? What do they feel their purpose is? Now I'll just give you a little bit of my own experience in this spiritually transformative experience, and then we'll talk about the book and the author I met, and we'll go on to conclude on the podcast. I would have had narcissistic experiences in my childhood that would have probably devastated my confidence and made me into a bit of a rebel, where I came across a lot of calamities in my life because of my over-rebelliousness. And I would have had some normal relationships and some narcissistic ones until I had the biggie, the wall crash, the smashing against the wall, the therapeutic banging on my head, slapping around my head, where I finally had to say, if I'm going to recover this, if I'm going to survive this, I have to start loving myself. I have to start accepting myself. I have to believe that I'm not crazy, that this is who I am. This is who my spirit is. Well, what the heck am I here for? What am I here for? Why did I have to go through all these things? If I'm not crazy, why did I have to go through all these things? And God was the only one that got me through. No matter how much and how capable I thought I am and was analytically and intellectually, and how good at, you know, finding information, etc., I could not get there without asking God. He helped me. He saved me. I'm just telling you what I experienced, guys, whether, you know, that's your experience or not. He saved me. I started talking about it because I was so insulted by the fact that there's these people out there and we don't know about it. Like, this is what they do. And you know, why aren't we told about this? Well, why are we brought up to believe that everybody is good and that evil is some far distant thing that happens in murder mysteries and, you know, on TV? That evil is an everyday occurrence. That evil is, the capacity for evil is in everyone. And that people that have narcissistic personality disorder are much more prone to exhibit and go down that road. And that's their journey. But we need to know about it to protect ourselves. So, sorry, we're getting a little bit passionate there about this. But that is the reason then I started talking about it. And miraculously, people engaged. And that in itself is also very supportive, because you think, there's another person out there that feels the same. And you begin to understand that you're not alone. And it takes the alone feeling away. That's another thing I'd like to say. That in your moments when you're alone, if you were afraid of being alone before, or if you always wanted to be in a relationship, and I remember I always wanted to be in a relationship. I never wanted to be alone. And now being alone physically, well, with my Baba, or physically, you know, without another human being there, I don't feel alone. I feel so much more company than I've ever felt before. And sometimes even with people, it feels like being connected to a source of energy, feels like being connected to you guys. It feels like none of us are alone when we open up to the fact that there's so much love out there, that there's so many other people like us. I must say, I've never felt as much company in my aloneness, and I hope that you get, and I know you will, if you're open to it, get to that stage. And again, tell people if you've reached it, because it'll give hope. So, at the end of the podcast, I'd like to tell you the things that come through this spiritually transformative experience. But the person that describes it best and in most most potently, I suppose, because she's been able to write about it and she was able to acknowledge when something happened, she was open to the experiences she received when she had gone through a terrible experience leaving her marriage and was forced to sell her home. And she's written a book, and I'm getting nothing for promoting this. I'm promoting this because I believe what she's saying, and I believe that this will help if anyone wants to read it, open you up to the fact that there is more to us than the physical, our physical senses. So I don't know if a book, when you hold it up, if the writing goes different, you know, on the camera. But this is the book, and it's written by Dr. Marnie Hill Fodero. I hope I'm saying your name right, Marnie. And it's called God Came to My Garage Sale. And I've read it, and it's very beautiful. It's very beautiful, and it's very validating. And I met Marnie. She emailed me, Dr. Marnie. And we had a lovely afternoon tea down the country in Ireland while she was on a trip here with her partner. And it was a wonderful experience. And it was amazing to speak to another one of us in our community, because as we discussed during afternoon tea, people that have gone through this experience, there's a type of familial bond. It's like we're one big family, because it is so hard to put in words or to get across to anybody that hasn't gone through the many layers of narcissistic abuse, the many, many, many deeply interwoven layers as to how it actually felt or feels and how difficult it is to unravel yourself or to climb out through all those layers to get to the top and to get to this spiritually transformative experience. So I'm going to leave details in the description, in the drop down. That's if you push the arrow. I used to know this when I went on YouTube. Imagine I never actually went on YouTube before I went on YouTube. So you go to the description in the podcast, and you click the arrow, and it opens up the description and all the details for anyone that wants to buy Dr. Marnie's books. She has more books than that, and I think she's going to give me that information to put in the description. So that's definitely a good marriage, the book and the podcast, for anyone that's interested in this journey of transformation that you can choose to go on. It's open to everybody. It's open to everybody. And I guess it's akin to the amount of work you want to do, the amount of protection you want to have against another narcissistic relationship. So I'm going to tell you what came, what I experienced as a result of going through this spiritual experience, and how it feels in a moment. I just wanted to put in one little aside, because this came up at coaching a few times recently. So if it comes up multiple times, I'll always say it. Autistic people can be a bit blessed where narcissists are concerned. Because narcissists, this is totally irrelevant to this podcast, but I just wanted to put it in for anyone that might be interested. Narcissists work on emotional reactions, and autistic people work more in the logic. So they'll question why a narcissist is doing something. And it's hard damn work for a narcissist. They get very frustrated because the person isn't emotionally reacting. They're asking questions. So the narcissist, while they can manipulate that to a certain extent, they can put the person off in a different direction, giving them a logical explanation for something. It's much more work, and the narcissists get very frustrated. It's not their modus operandi. So I'm just putting in that in there for what it's worth. Now back to the podcast. Right. The things that come from all this transformation, and I'm going to read the list that I've experienced. You meet people who are like you, clearly, because they're very spiritually orientated or very full of humanity. And they know that that's important to pursue. So they're interested in it. So you can have some fantastic discussions around this. You have the best hope you've ever had in your life. Because whereas you may have had hope before in a kind of an ignorant way, thinking that everybody's good and then kept getting disappointed by people, this hope is true because it's based on reality. So your hope is very established in that there are good people out there and that there are also not so good people that are on a different path. You can feel really happy. As I know somebody agrees back there. Let's not say the word W-A-L-K. Yes, so you can feel really happy and you can feel it. You can live it. It's not something that's far away from you. You're in it. Like getting out from a swim and feeling that wonderful feeling you get when the water's been on your body and it's been cold and your body's changed temperature and you're lying against a rock as you're getting changed and the sun is beaming down on you and you feel God. You feel God. You feel peace. You feel at one with nature. You feel part of everyone that's not there. You feel part of the people that have passed on. It's, again, it's something to do with the knowing, I think. It's something to do with what is out there that we're not psychologically aware of, but it's there. The more you've gone through the sensory experience of excruciating pain, the more you can feel the blissful magnificence of joy. You can also feel sadness more, but you can feel comfort more as well. And it's necessary to feel that sadness because it's cleansing and it's felt and it doesn't linger. Grieving may linger, but you can recover. You can be comforted. There is more meaning to why things happen. There's happiness and there's laughter. There's real laughter. There's bold laughter as well. Like, it's not all, oh, saintly, you know, and boring. It's exciting and it's naughty and it's bold, but it doesn't harm anyone. It's laughter. It's humour. They're the things that come. Abundance. Abundance, your life's purpose. And finally, I'll say, God gave me my answer. God said, and I finally went, oh, crikey, So this is why I went through all that awfulness. This is why, oh, this is why it happened to me. This is what I have to do. So I got my answer. It didn't come in a flash. Like, no angel appeared to me and said, now, here, you're going to do this. But it gradually dawned on me. And now I'm sitting here in front of the camera, making a video about the experience and also talking to people on a one-to-one basis and making a difference, just as a difference was made for me by my predecessors who saved me from this experience and led me into the light. Now I finally realize that's why I had to go through all that. That's why I was so confused as a child. That's why I got into so much trouble as a young adult. That's why I did things that didn't feel right to me. That's why I did all this exploring. That's why I experienced that awful pain. That's why. So, guys, we will leave you here. It's another long one, as I thought it might be, to try and get those and that message across. It's a bit of a dull day here in Ireland on the East Coast, where Remy and myself are, even though it's summer. So I'm going to leave you and love you, but we'll be back, as always, please God, for another podcast very soon. And please take care of yourself. Take hope. There is an amazing journey that you're on. It gets better and better and better and better and better. Just keep doing what you're doing, one step after the other. Explore. Look at things you're interested in. Explore things. That's the way doors open. That's the way your purpose, you know, comes to you. And that's what, when you finally understand why you went through everything, it's such a completion of the journey. And of course, there's much more to learn. There is so much more to learn, but you're in a better position to do so. Somebody is a little bit impatient, and rightly so. Looking at the clock, it's 43 minutes. So, Remy, are you going to say goodbye? Okay. See you guys. Bye. Bye.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.